Penguins jumped his pants.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintentio, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be the sort of official show for the month of March 2021.
How can it be sort of official?
So we're going to talk about some game announcements, as well as talk about a couple of games that are coming out in April. I'm going to quickly shoot through also the new releases for this month, but most of the new releases, specifically the most high-profile one, Monster Hunter, is not out at time of recording.
Time of recording is tomorrow.
Yep. So we're going to basically bank that one for the next show, because me and Wes will probably have a lot to say about it by then.
Yeah, but we're going to have to get our Discord going, because your Discord doesn't even have a chat thing. And then we're going to be playing. And Ryan, you in on this?
I mean, there was so much hate speech in the chat, I just decided to shut it down. like the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're gonna nerd out on this game.
I'm actually not planning on getting this game. I'm going to let you guys do your thing. I want to see you guys play a little bit of it, and if I'm into it, then I'll probably get it. But otherwise, fair. I got other games I want to play.
Okay. Well, so what we'll do is when we get through the game announcements and all of the official business that we usually talk about on the official show, we'll just open up the floor because you guys have a game that you're both playing.
Yes. Ain't this it this week? We're going to have the same game to talk about this week.
Actually, my Switch is in the other room, so go on with the other setup stuff while I do that.
All right, Wes is making a hasty exit here.
Yep, you'll never see me again.
So let's...
Oh, he farted on the way out.
Wes, that was gross.
Oh, it smells.
Oh, it tastes on my tongue. Actually, so what we'll do is start up with some new news and gossip. I was about to say new releases, but that's not where we start. We start with news and gossip. No gossip or gossip this week, because the only rumors that have been going around are, once again, about Switch Pro. We've already said our piece on that one. I think the side we come down on is, like, maybe they'll do it, but they shouldn't.
If they do it, John, you get in it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, day one. Sign me up for it, because...
Well, you were already talking about getting Ripley one. So maybe this would be a good way to, like, get the thing that you want and then maybe pass down the one you have.
We'll see.
Hand-me-down Switch.
And if they do what I suspect they'll do, which is not announce a Switch Pro or a Switch XL, whatever it ends up being, probably end up getting her and Mika, like, a Switch Lite. Because I think they're ready for it at this point.
One to share or one each?
One each.
Oh.
Yeah, not at the same time, though. They're going to have to wait for birthday presents. So Rip is going to be real jealous of Mika for a couple months.
Maybe get into a fist fight, though. Get him into a fist fight first to see who gets the first one.
Yeah. Winner gets the Switch and my love.
Exactly.
So we got some new game announcements. And Wes, I was waiting specifically for you to come back for this because you're a big nerd. Do you know anything about that show Ruby, RWBY?
Yep.
Okay, so there's a game. There's a game that was announced today, hot off the presses. Nintendo announced Ruby Grim Eclipse, which is coming out on May 13th, so it's coming out pretty quick. It's like a brawler, like a 3D beat-em-up.
Yeah, kinda, because it's kind of more open, right? It's not like a 2D side-scrolling brawler. It's just kind of hack and slash.
Exactly.
It's a hack and slash.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a distinction, and I'm not exactly sure where the line is between like a 3D brawler and a hack and slash, but for me, like this gave off more brawler vibes. I think maybe... The fact that it's cooperative, maybe that makes me lean more toward brawler. But I guess there could be cooperative hack and slash
games. The price
point's
going to be big on this kind of game, whether or not it does well. Because not a lot of people know Ruby, and it doesn't look like it's doing anything that fantastic.
I mean, and it is a four-year-old game.
Yeah.
This game came out on PC and Mac.
I did not know that. All right.
Yeah.
I did recognize one of the women is the voice actress for, among a million other things, I'm sure, Tiny Tina. That actress is one of the four.
Oh, from Borderlands.
Yeah. Is one of the four vocalists.
Oh my god, I gotta look that up. Holy shit,
it has to be her.
That's my favorite character from Borderlands. Tina is hilarious.
She's a great voice actress, too. She's got a really distinct style, so I don't know. That's interesting. It looks like, I don't know if they re-recorded dialogue, too, or if this is like the original dialogue from when the game came out 4 years ago, but it seems like they made it a point to give you all four voices. You distinctly heard dialogue from all of them. So, you know.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's going to have like that Ninja Turtles dynamic where it's, you know, each of them has a distinct personality.
Yeah, one of them leads, the other does machines.
Yeah, one of them's rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last one's a party dude.
Of course. What else is going to be?
There was, so this one we do have a solid release date for. The new Ninja Turtles game we don't have a solid release date for yet.
Oh, hey, good lead-in. Yeah, the Shredder's Revenge.
Shredder's Revenge.
This looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks so good. They, of course, had that lead-in with like that... minute and 10 second theme song remix that they did. Only had about like 15 seconds of actually gameplay footage, but the gameplay looks so good.
I think they showed us as much as they need to, honestly. It looks legit. It looks like they're being really faithful to the old art style, but it's much more detailed, and it looks like it's going to have a lot of that same fun combat. And you can tell just the idle animations of the characters are so I don't know what you would say, articulate. It seems like there's a lot of just movement. It looks very fluid, so
yeah.
I'm really excited for this game. The only thing they could fuck it up is if they just fail to make a tight brawler.
Right, which, you know, this is the publisher was also the publisher of Streets of Rage, and I think the developer is also the developer that did Scott Pilgrim, I think.
There you go. I mean, that's a good pedigree. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I might have to do some quick fact checking on that, but the point is, it's going to be interesting to see if they just kind of do a straight brawler like Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time style, or if they do try to incorporate some of those River City Ransom elements that we talked about when we talked about Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
About, you're wrong, Ryan. She does not do that.
Oh, that wasn't her?
No, that's not her.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, you're good. Well, so now I wanted to correct that for the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Well, now we're not buying the game,
yeah.
So.
Mm. Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. Ninja Turtles. one of the things that really stood out to me, of course, four-player co-op, which I think is a must. Also, there's a potential for some different playable characters rather than just the four turtles.
But we're not going through time.
No. Well, as far as we know.
As far as we know, we're not going through time.
Because they only
show... I mean, they're not going to show that in the trailer. That's something you find out if you...
And this is Shredder's Revenge. Put your money down for it. Mm-hmm. Makes it sound like it's a sequel.
So there's some
sort because of how does he get revenge without anything happening in the first place?
Unless like something happens in an opening scene where like they stick him with a check for a dinner or something, and then he's
yeah
out for blood.
They steal his bike.
Yeah.
Well, what's the original setup of it, right? Isn't it that before Splinter got converted to his little rat form? No, Splinter was the rat pet of the original Sensei. That a young Shredder would kill.
No, I think it depends on which source material you're looking for.
I think I'm using the movie.
Yeah, are using the movie.
So yes, in the film, the Jim Henson film,
the Corey Feldman is of course the baseline,
right?
You know, that's this
the touchstone of all movies, really, Corey Feldman. So in the movie, he is the rat who learns ninjutsu by mimicking the movements of the guy who is Shredder's rival. They have some sort of like love rival,
and he does this pre. Mutation.
Right.
So you just see like a little rat doing karate moves, which is the most ridiculous shit ever, but okay.
Right. But in the cartoon, I think in the animated series from the 90s, he was actually a person who mutated to rat form and decided to teach turtles ninjutsu.
Because that's what you do after you become a rat.
Right. And I think in the IDW comic book ongoing series from 2012, I think it is similar to the movie setup where he's a rat that then mutated to be more of a anthropomorphic.
Interesting. So if Casey Jones is a playable character, I get to be Casey Jones.
I'm totally fine with that, yes.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
He better be a playable character.
Nobody actually likes Casey Jones. What's your problem?
Well, everyone likes Casey Jones. We hang out in different circles, dude. No, Casey Jones is for fucking real, man. He's awesome.
What's this, a Jose Canseco bat?
Listen, I'm the one that has the stupid Ninja Turtle game. But I haven't played it in months, but
still. We would just keep it for Ripley.
Yeah, that game has taught me a lot about the diverse cast of characters that are within the Ninja Turtles. And I can tell you, Casey Jones is like a badass dude. He's pretty cool. Better than Chris Bradford is for damn sure.
That name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
He becomes the werewolf guy.
Who's the werewolf guy?
Raxar or something?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, oh, Token and Razar?
Yeah, that may be it.
Yeah, Razar.
But I'm trying to think of the other cast. Like, I mean,
wait, Token and Razar were slimed...
In the movie.
Oh,
in the
my
movie,
God.
In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, they were just animals and then got mutated to anthropomorphic.
Are those coming up soon on our retro show?
I'm going to have to look. No, because I think we've passed the Ninja Turtles
movies at this point. No, we had to fix this. We had to just slit these in.
Well, we're going to order some Pizza Hut,
yeah,
which they had advertisements. At the front, right? they had advertisements at the front of the movie, like before the actual feature. There's like these Pizza Hut commercials, and then like during the movie, they're actually eating Domino's pizza, which I think is just delightful.
I mean, do we make it a triple feature? The third one was
art, it was easily the absolute worst thing ever.
Depends on the runtime. Because I can't do this for 4 hours.
Oh, we're doing this.
After I watched...
This is like when we were talking about doing the Leprechaun marathon, and then I watched In the Hood, and I'm just like, we're not doing this.
Well, we are doing the Iron Mask watching at one point.
That we have to
We watch. Have to do the viewing of Iron Mask
at some point. I mean, I gotta be an Arnold completionist, so...
Mm. So Ninja Turtles. I think the last thing I wanted to say about Shredder's Revenge is that it does seem to incorporate some mechanics of... Turtles in Time. Not only do they show the Technodrome, so there could be possibly some time travel happening, but also the way that you can grab enemies and throw them at the screen, which was a core mechanic for a particular boss fight in Turtles in Time. So that stuff is back in, which is very cool.
Yeah, the first one, 1990, 91, and 93.
Oh yeah, we're way off.
We're way past those. But, I mean, just look at the face of terror on each of their faces.
Oh, that is some box
they're
art.
They're terrifying.
Why don't we just watch Coming Out of Their Shells? The concert DVD that they, the concert tour that they did.
I'd be down for that.
I think, I'm not even joking. I had
that on VHS as a kid. Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Somewhere in some box, somewhere it's that.
Because I remember the crowd, it was shot in Japan, or you know, I'm guessing an Asian nation, because the entire audience was Asian and they were all super polite the whole time during the concert. But not like polite, like they were bored, like they were forced to be at this area and this thing. They were like kind of pumped and into it.
Yeah,
but
they
just
come out with
being real proper.
Bedazzled jean jackets at one point. That was the best.
Oh man, it is pretty fucking sweet. Yeah. They're like Kiss, but like Kiss, but Elton John did all of their costumes. And the music is absolute trash.
So we're agreeing right now, what I'm hearing. What we're agreeing right now that when, you know, the pandemic is over, if it's ever over, and we get back to, like, doing in-person conventions, we're doing a live podcast all wearing bedazzled jean jackets.
100%.
Yeah. If we're in turtle costumes.
Okay. So, speaking of things that are radical, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, the remakes, are coming to Switch this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually got that for my nephew on Xbox.
Nice.
I got it for myself on PlayStation.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, of course. I grew up with that game. I fucking love it.
Yeah, same here. Played it a bunch when I was a kid. Loved it.
So yeah, that'll be out sometime this year. Oh, I should also mention that Shredder's Revenge doesn't have a release date yet. I'm a little bit pessimistic. I think that we might be a little ways out from seeing this one. Streets of Rage 4, for some reason, took quite a while to come out. And, you know, this one's a little bit different because of the pixel art style. It doesn't have like the hand-drawn look to it that Streets of Rage has, so maybe it'll be out sooner rather than later, but I'm not expecting to see it this year. A couple of games.
That's all you got on Tony Hawk?
Yeah. You guys have anything else about Tony Hawk?
I just thought it's funny that you put the wrong skate game up there first.
Right?
You sent us the list.
It's funny because I would just like did a YouTube search for Tony Hawk Switch, and that was the first trailer that popped up. It's like, yeah, that's got to be it. And then I was re-watching it all. It's like, this isn't Tony Hawk at all. What is this shit?
It looks so bad, too. Oh,
Skate well, the faces, XL. The faces look terrible. Well, what I would say about that is, like, in Tony Hawk, it is so unrealistic that literally you ollie 3 feet in the air. Like, your ollie is just, like, insane.
That you crash through windows and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it's in no...
You're jumping off roofs and then just recovering by grinding on a pole that you're landing on.
And it seems like the other game that you posted seems to be a lot more realistic. It seems to be trying to make it seem a little bit less arcadey and a little more, I don't know, authentic skateboarding and stuff.
That's not fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that game appealed to me at all. Like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I mean, I want to be able to jump. I want to ollie 3 feet in the air and then do a fucking backflip. You know, I want to do all the fun shit.
Right, that's why you know, it's a video game. Make a video game. Don't make something that's a simulator.
That 90s music, oh shit.
I just watched a documentary, too, about the Bones Brigade, which he was a part of as a kid.
Tony Hawk?
Yeah, it is fucking fascinating. It's on YouTube. The Bones Brigade, I guess, is still like an entity or a group. So they still have the ownership of this. And they made this really cool documentary. And it profiles all of the skaters from their roster. Literally from like the early 80s when they first got started. And kind of the immediate like rise and then sudden just tanking fall off of skating and popularity. And then the slow resurgence that came back. Really, really cool. Liked it a lot. And I also heard in an interview. I got a lot of Tony Hawk information. he said in the interview... He was like, yeah, Activision owns the rights to... Believe it or not, Activision owns the right to Tony Hawk as a skater in a video game. Like, he doesn't even own the rights.
Oh, interesting.
But he was like... But he's like, but hey, Activision, if you're out there, let's do something. You know, he's like kind of putting it out there. And he also did say, quite positively speaking of Activision, that like, you know, yeah, we work directly on doing the remaster of 1 and 2. So it seems like he's not on bad terms with them, but if we're ever going to get a modern Tony Hawk game, it has to be Activision's decision to do so, not his.
Well, I'm sure as soon as they find a way to put loot boxes in it.
Right, exactly. You know,
they'll figure it out.
So if he were to come out with a game himself and put himself in the game, Activision could sue him for using himself.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking bonkers to me.
Yeah. He'd have to call himself Anthony Falcon or something.
Yeah. Somebody described him as the world's oldest teenager. And it's true. The guy's never... And he's always... He's probably in
his 50s now.
Yeah, he's... I think he's just now 50. Hmm. I think it was in... Well, it was 2019. He said he was 49 years old. But he is like just this... Just beams positivity. It's so fun. Just he is so mellow and cool and just so happy and positive about everything. As you would be, too, if your entire life was spent around living in Southern California with millions of dollars skateboarding all day.
Skateboards for a living.
You know, like, his life is fantastic. But, yeah, he just it's really, really fun watching him. It's like you want him to be sort of like a soothsayer or shaman for you or something.
You're skateboarding Sherpa.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see, a couple more games to get through here. Sky Climbers, that one's coming to Switch in 2022. There are a couple here on lists that kind of look Breath of the Wild inspired. Sky Climbers is one. Seems like a open world.
It looks
world.
Fine. It looks interesting. I would need to see more of it before I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're trying to jam a lot in there, to your point. So we need to get some more details on how these systems are going to work because, like, exploration.
Their budget really isn't that big, though. I looked up their actual Kickstarter page. They only have $300,000 raised on their Kickstarter.
Oh.
Well, games are cheap and easy to make, so I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, this should be out tomorrow. I don't know why I stand in 2022.
But what's the cocaine budget, though? usually, I mean, $250, that's going up their nose.
They had a GoFundMe for that.
Separate GoFundMe for the cocaine.
But it's a little concerning with a $300,000 budget, because they're trying to have, like, the massive open world. They're trying to have, like, monster raising and town building in there, too. Like, they're trying to put a lot in this game.
If they do it right, it would be a good game.
It will be on... I saw a bunch of weird stuff on their Kickstarter. It'll be cross-platform. It'll be on Stadia. And they even listed devices it will appear on. One was mobile.
Interesting.
Well, again, I don't know. Maybe that's just them, again...
Well, I mean, Genshin Impact
riding the rails and just telling you they're going to deliver you the stars. But
I mean, Genshin Impact did that. It's a mobile game that is on consoles.
Okay.
Still on Switch yet, though.
Not on Switch yet, which I am surprised about that.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I feel like this would be a good Switch game. Hmm. It kind of matches that kind of artwork and everything that you typically see out like RPGs and Switches. It's very Breath of the Wild-y.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Actually, Google recommended an article. I can't remember who it was from, or I'd call them out. It wasn't like a major gaming outlet. It wasn't like an IGN or a Game Informer or anything like that. But the headline was pretty much Breath of the Wild 2 needs to be more like Genshin Impact. It needs to have more involved stories and characters. I mean, like, don't recommend this site ever again. Fuck right off.
Everyone knows what Breath of the Wild is. Why do they presume that we know what Genshin Impact is?
Right.
It actually is a pretty good game.
Which is fine.
But is it Breath of the Wild?
but has it sold 20 million? Yeah. Like, no. It's a free game, and it probably hasn't even dented like the sort of mind share that Breath of the Wild has. Anyway, I don't think we need to stick up for Breath of the Wild against Genshin Impact. Sky Climbers, I don't know, looks all right. We'll see. Also, The Magnificent Truffle Pigs, that was the other one that kind of had sort of Breath of the Wild vibes, and that it's seems to be like trying to create an open experience. That one's coming out summer this year. It seems to be more narrative focused. It's like some sort of mystery you're trying to uncover.
What was this one?
More like a game.
Magnificent Truffle Pig?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of Fire? I don't remember that. Firewatch?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. It seems like
Firewatch.
You go out there with like a metal detector, right? And you've got someone that you're talking to on a microphone, and it sounds like that for some reason there's some kind of secret, maybe government, quasi-government agency.
Oh, was
trying
that
to
what that
you.
One was? With the walkie and the
yeah.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it seems to be some sort of like narrative driven, maybe some sort of mystery game.
I mean, I liked Firewatch a lot, and it's very much that. This game looks like it's going to be that kind of story. So yeah, this could be fun, but like you're saying, it's probably going to be very narrative. There's probably not going to be a lot of like, you know, game mechanics and stuff to sink your teeth into if that's your type of thing.
Mm. You're playing through a movie.
Yeah, probably. Probably something akin to that.
Super Impossible Road is out this year. This is the one with the big spheres going down like the F-Zero style looking tracks.
I saw that one, yeah.
Except the hitch sort of gimmick of this one is you are encouraged to launch yourself off the road and try to land further down the track.
Yeah.
It looks like, if I were to make a presumption, I think it would be like more of like a downhill racer rather than somewhere going to do lap after lap over and over again. It's just like, hey, you're at the top, get to the bottom and find the most effective way there.
It looks interesting, but I feel like I get bored of it quick.
Yeah, I mean, this one I would have to assume is a budget game. I think it looks pretty nice. Like, there are like two other like F-Zero style looking futuristic racers that were announced around this time. This one, I think, was the most impressive looking.
It looks like they started with a sphere-based physics games, but then forgot that inside of the ball needs to be a monkey, so that we have Monkey Ball.
That's true.
You know, why haven't we seen a good Monkey Ball game in a while?
Sega hates you.
Yeah.
You specifically. It's a personal attack.
I've said some shit about them, but, you know, I thought we were cool.
I mean, well, they made a Valkyria Chronicles game just for me a couple years ago, so yeah. Me and Sega are cool.
I told them how I feel about Echo, like...
So, yeah, I agree with you guys. That one looks fine, but I don't think that, nothing super interesting. Townscaper was one that interested me at first. There was the one where you're just, like, making your little town pop up. I mean, it's probably just, like, such a mobile schlock. When I was watching, I was like, okay, but what are the goals here? Like, do I have, like, a certain amount of resources? What sort of things am I having to manage? Or am I just, like, drawing a town? Because if I'm just drawing a town, like, all right, fine, for, like, a dollar, but... If there's here's your resources and populate your town by this much, which I doubt any of that's in there.
Yeah.
But it does have such a cool visual style.
That would be funny if just like out of nowhere, as you're making your beautiful little town, just like another town starts to appear over here, and then just people start invading, burning down your town.
Yeah, actual mechanics. That's what this game needs. Some mechanics.
They just found that pop sound and were just like, no, we're gonna make $1 million right now.
If they were to incorporate this kind of game with something along the lines of like a SimCity or like an Age of Empires or
Roller Coaster Tycoon, something where you actually have things to manage.
Yeah. It would be really cool.
Yeah.
But if I'm just building a town, I don't give a fuck. Like, not even a buck. You get nothing.
Right. And I think like the fact
good that this day, sir.
The fact that this one's coming out this year. So far, it's slated for this year. I don't think bodes too well for, like, actually having some sort of, like, expanded mechanics. They did, like, show really briefly, like, a menu where you can change up, like, the architecture of the thing that you are drawing. But I have a feeling this is a town drawing game, which I like town building. But I need a little bit more meat on the bones there.
Yeah.
We got some release date updates. Samurai Warriors 5 got confirmed for July 7th. Or, sorry, 27th. Shin Megami Tensei 3 HD Remastered coming out May 25th. Oh, I'm so excited, you guys.
Yeah, who cares?
It's going to be so good.
we're so proud of you.
Yeah. This is the HD remaster of the PS2 SMT.
What's the PS2?
It's a...
That's something losers play?
It's like a GameCube, but the graphics aren't as good, but it sold like 100 million more.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah. GameCube deserved better.
Well, it came out before GameCube, so I mean...
Only by a year.
But the GameCube had the Monkey Ball game, though.
It sure did. Got a few of them.
Yeah, so like, how did a PS2, you called it, how did that sell better?
Well, because...
With zero Monkey Ball games.
Right. So what they did is Sony was being real tricky, and they also said, like, it also plays DVDs, and apparently people gave a shit about that in 1999.
Also Final Fantasy games.
It got a Final Fantasy game. Just the one. Well, I mean, 11. No. That was an MMO.
It got 7, 8, 9.
PlayStation 2.
Oh, you're right. Those were ones.
Yeah. I like the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway.
What was so good about the 2?
Final Fantasy 10?
Yeah. An X2.
I mean, you like those Jack and Daxter games.
I did enjoy the Jack and Daxter games.
Shadow of the Colossus. That was a PS2 game.
Oh, God. That was so good.
Ico? Was that on that one?
Yep. Well? Yeah, that was a PS2 game. Yeah. I mean, I could just look up them. Let's see. Oh, a Bouncer? Bouncer, you guys.
Great game. Classic
Okami.
Game.
Okami.
That's a Square Enix game.
Yep.
Yeah, sure, better than, I think,
some Okami.
Maybe one or two Final Fantasy games might be better than it, but it's better than all of the others.
Yeah, best, like, A-plus tier Square Enix game.
Best attire they've ever put on characters, too.
No question.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Oh, and finally, Monster Hunter Stories 2 got a release date for July 9th. So if Rise doesn't give you enough Monster Hunter for the next several months, then you got another one after that.
Monster Hunter what two?
Stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's more of a traditional RPG rather than a sort of a Capcom twist on an action RPG that the rest of the Monster Hunter games are. By July, turned out to be a really busy month. Like, Samurai Warriors, Monster Hunter, The game that Wes is going to get, Skyward Sword.
Ugh.
Nice.
Quite a few. Don't put that curse on me, Ricky.
You're absolutely getting it.
I'm not getting this
game. Yes, you are.
I will not.
Don't be a schmuck. You're going to get
it. I refuse, sir. Why are you putting this on me?
Because you were the one that was most excited when it was first announced that it was going
to
happen.
I don't know how we talked you out of it. We just talked about the game.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with it.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Do it for the show.
I have Monster Hunter and I got Pokemon Snap.
Those are coming out like three
but
months
this is
before.
July, man. What are you going to be doing?
You're not going to be doing it. You're getting it.
Ugh. I hate you both.
Real quick, the new releases from March. No detail on these yet because the important ones are out at the end. Harvest Moon, One World, Apex Legends, Crash Bandicoot 4. No?
Okay.
Crickets? Cool. Sure. Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville, Tales from the Borderlands, Story of Season, then Monster Hunter is, of course, out tomorrow, as well as Balan Wonderland. Hot off the presses as well.
Wes, did you play the demo of
yet? I have it downloaded, but I did not open it yet.
I need to hear details pretty soon. But hot off the presses, there is a warning out for that game. There is a very specific part of the game that they warn you not to engage with if you suffer from epileptic seizures. So the hits just keep on coming for this train wreck of a game.
Interesting.
And then Kaze and the Wild Masks is a really cool looking 2D platformer. I might pick that one up. That one's also coming out the same day as Monster Hunter, so we'll see. And then another cool-looking 2D, like, retro-futuristic-style 2D platformer, Narita Boy, is out on the 30th. And that one looks kind of cool, too. So, Monster Hunter, and then Kaze, Narita Boy, right at the end of the month. I don't know, all those games...
That's this month. Why are we talking about this now?
Because tradition. I need my structure, Ryan.
It's like, okay.
Those are the new releases. But
this one bugs... So there's this thing called Banger TV that does, like, heavy metal reviews and stuff like that. But they always... preview the month, and then the albums aren't out yet, so I can't listen to any of them. So it's like, why are you telling me about an album that I want to listen to in 4 weeks? And I think that it's the opposite approach for when it comes to the video games. You want to like tease the month, not show up on the last day, you know, and then say like, oh, by the way, all of these games exist.
Good point. Let's talk about the month of April.
You bring this up now.
Well, you just saying,
we've been doing this formula for how many years?
Ten years. So,
just because I realize it now doesn't make my point any less valid.
We usually have more to say about new releases when we've played them. By the time this posts, all of those games will be out, so there will all be things that exist that you can go play. But, you know, cool. Because of the way time works and how we perceive it, we can't talk about them yet. So, we can talk about a couple of games that are coming out in April, since you want to preview some stuff.
Oh, please do. What's going on?
Trails of Cold Steel 4, goddammit.
Oh, wow. That's a tongue twister right there.
Trails of Cold Steel 4.
Relentless Russell Westbrook.
The Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch. Which wristwatch is this wristwatch?
What the fuck?
Which wristwatches are Swiss wristwatches?
Yeah. Your turn, Wes.
Switch eShop. The Switch wish list. That was
seashells by the seashore. I got nothing.
Okay. Trails of Cold Steel 4. That is, of course, the sequel to Trails of Cold Steel 3 that came out last year. I tried the demo. I didn't like it.
They talk a lot, and you don't like that.
They sure do. They don't ever stop.
Yeah.
I keep hearing that the battle system is really good. If that were the case, I think they would feature it more. So, it's a game that a lot of people like. It's a pretty high-profile RPG at this point. It's getting some clout. But yeah, either guys have any thoughts on Trails of Cold Steel?
No.
As I understand, it was one that was not on Nintendo consoles for a very long time, and they're just now starting to kind of come over to it. So
yeah.
If you like RPGs, I'm probably pretty happy about that.
Yeah, the publisher of this one, Falcom, also does those East games.
Okay.
And for a while on Switch, they've been actually... putting out a lot of games on Switch over the past couple of years. But for a while, they were like, yeah, we don't know if we're going to do Switch games. We don't really know if that's where our audience is. And then they did like a couple. I think they started with East 8, and then they ended up selling quite a few of them. So like, okay, well, let's keep this going. So, you know, I think just goes to show, like, the amount of games that you will sell if you don't put games on the Switch is obviously going to be less if you just try it out. Put some games on the Switch. They will probably sell. Saga Frontier Remastered is coming on the 15th. This is a remaster of a PS1 game. I'm actually pretty pumped for this one. I might give it a shot, you know, time permitting. It is, of course, an RPG, as are most games that are coming out this year. This is quite a year for RPGs. I think I mentioned it was a PS1 game just a second ago. But yeah, this is a game that's kind of like in seven parts. You have seven different characters and you kind of run through the game, you know, until you get sick of it. And each of them have like different quests and different scenarios. And from what I've been reading, like the first time you play through, it's a pretty brief for an RPG anyway, like 15 to 20 hours. But then each time you run through, you're like carrying over progress. So it gets quicker and quicker each time you run through it. It's pretty cool. And then finally, the only other game we have a solid release date for in April so far is new Pokemon Snap.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Coming out on the 30th.
Mm-hmm. Heard a little bit about this one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Is this going to be the game that dominates your life for the next 5 months?
Yeah, I'm taking off work that day.
Nice.
Going in, at open, picking it up, and then just playing Pokemon Snap. Poke motherfucking Snap. I can't wait.
It's a good looking game.
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to your thoughts on it.
I just can't wait. I'm so fucking excited.
I just hope there ends up being a way that we can make stickers out of this.
Mm. There has to be some way. I will scour the net. I print my Pokemon Snap photos.
You're going to be like standing outside of like a UPS door. So I'm like, I need to make stickers. How do I do this? Ryan, any thoughts on Pokemon Snap?
I'm equally excited for it. I don't know if I'm a day one purchase, but for sure.
Piece of shit.
I mean, we have a podcast about Pokemon. It'd be kind of a dick move if I didn't.
Guess it's going to happen, though.
You're not.
You guys are going to be talking a lot about Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. Because I know you're not buying it, you piece of shit.
No, not day one. Not yet.
Your kids will love it.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you can bring over yours and we'll see how addicted they get to it. Oh, by the way,
how's your Pokemon Go going, you guys?
It's not.
No, it's not. Oh.
It's not going.
Oh, no. What'll our Pokemon fans say about that? Charlatan. You hucks.
We haven't talked about it's like pointing out you as you say it.
That's true. Aggressive too.
I thought Wes, you were going to join me in this. You know,
oh yeah, I haven't played that date. I'm with him though.
I gotta be honest, I haven't played a Pokemon game in 20 years.
Really? So. You've been faking it this whole time?
Yep. Pulling it as
this entire time. Man.
Pokemon for him is nothing
every once in a while.
Spreadsheets.
It's true. Every once in a while he says one that's not real. I mean, I don't correct him. It's, you know, it's his show.
So, okay, no, I've been talking about Bobbicate as if it is real.
Yes. Fantastic.
So, yeah. That's always some solid games, I think, coming out for April. Not quite as busy as the month of March was as far as like high-profile releases. But, you know, there's a Pokemon game in there.
Why don't we do that again? Make up some Pokemon. That was a fun podcast.
You know, we should...
You guys are so clever.
We should go back. I'm going to go back and re-listen to that show and actually write these down. And then we'll flesh out the Pokedex a little bit more. Oh, the Orlando Pokedex.
Ugh, so good.
But on that note, that's all of the things we need to cover for...
Don't talk about anything that happened in February or whatever?
No, I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Great. I mean, I have been plugging away more Bravely Default. That came out in February.
Nice.
And, yeah, I'm near the end. There is a sort of turn that happens where, you know, the game like leads you to believe you're getting toward the end, and then if you complete the task that you are given and then load up your save, you can keep on playing, and you will actually get to more, like, actual... narrative content, if that's the thing you're interested in. You can try to achieve further goals in the game. Try not to get too spoilery here. But I am past that point, and I think I'm coming up to the game, I suppose, like the true ending or the best ending, however you want to describe it. And I'm having a pretty good time with it. I'm coming up with a few job combos that I really like. The Thief class is broken. It is quite powerful. But I like mixing and matching that with the Dragoon, because I like the Dragoon class in general. Otherwise, like there are a couple of just kind of basic classes. I like White Mage and Spirit Master pair together really well. Like a White Mage is just doing your curative spells, and a Spirit Master is kind of like the other side of a White Mage coin, where it's casting a lot of light sort of elemental magic. And also putting up a lot of restorative buffs, things that will like restore your HP, your MP, cure status ailments just on a regular cycle, which is pretty fun.
So how does the roster work? It seems like there's a lot of characters, right?
There are only four characters, and it's a job system.
Oh, so that's how you don't have to have a bunch of different characters. You just kind of swap the jobs on the fly.
Right, yeah. Right. And what you can do is you can take characters through any job you want if you want to like take the passive skills, kind of pick and choose how you want to build. You have your pool of skills that you can have. from my experience, like, you can pick like 5 passive skills that you've learned from any job and put together your character that way. And you can build a character that's really just good at pilfering items off of enemies, which is a build I went for a while, because getting back to the thief class is very broken, because one of the last active skills that it learns is called Godspeed Strike, and that will damage an enemy, but it calculates damage based on how fast you are over the enemy. And of course, a thief class is usually very fast, pretty powerful attack on its own. But then also the thief class can do things like pilfer items off of enemies when they're doing damage. It's a skill called Mug. It's
it's like standard Final Fantasy stuff.
Right. And when you get a lot of passive skills as your thief, you can set it up to where, you know, you have a high probability of harvesting items when you steal and harvesting rare items when you steal, and then you can just kind of churn through battles. And there's a specific enemy that I found that will drop items that just give you an instant, like, it's like a Carbos or a Calcium in Pokemon. It just gives you an instant buff to your base stats.
Nice.
And this particular item gives me an instant, anywhere from a +1 to, I think, a +3 or +4 is where it max out, to your speed. So I just churned through a lot of those, harvested a lot of these items to continually buff up my thief's speed, which in turn, therefore, buffs up that Godspeed Strike to the point where I'm doing max damage on those things and churning through bosses fairly quickly.
I'm not saying it would be the best strategy, but could you do this with all 4 characters?
Yes.
Nice.
And in fact, something else you can do, once you get to a certain point, I'm going to try to avoid spoilers as much as possible here. Once you get to a certain point in the game, all jobs that you get, all of your classes, max out at a job level of 12. And at that point, we'll have learned all of its active and passive skills. And you can move on to something else if you want, or you can continue that, but you're not churning any more experience toward getting anything new. You've gotten it all. At a certain point in the game, that cap will raise from 12 to 15 and give you 3 more skills to learn. And your sort of like base, like normal type class is your freelancer. And there's kind of like a C at everything. They don't really do anything particularly well, but they can do a little bit of everything. One of the last thing that this class learns is a skill called Mimic, and it will repeat the action of the character that went directly before them, but will not cost you any like HP or MP. It'll just do it. So I'm trying to set it up to where I have a character who's going to do that Godspeed Strike really effectively, and then have everyone else just mimic it.
Nice.
And see how that goes.
Oof, that'd be cool.
I mean, I would think it would still, they would just recast that ability, but it would be going off their speed stat.
We'll see. It could be. Which, if that's the case, like, and you know, you can get really into churning through, like, having everyone learn all the jobs and harvesting these items off of different enemies to max out every single stat if you want to. I have encountered a few super bosses in the game, which I think would be beneficial to get into that grind of it. I don't think I'm going to get that heavy into the grind, pretty much because Monster Hunter comes out tomorrow.
And the game is nothing but grind.
Right, so I don't want to have 2 games where I'm just kind of grinding away, and I think I'm ready to just wrap up Bravely Default. I'm probably strong enough at this point to finish off the game. So I'm going to make a beeline toward the end. But yeah, there's a lot more content if you're playing through the post-game stuff, because every job that you get can be raised up past level 12. You get a max level 15. So I'm interested in like looking up what sort of skills you can get with all these different jobs if you take them up to their true max, but that's probably not something that I'll be engaging with. I like dragoons, because the dragoon learns a skill where, you know, dragoons are our characters that jump, like in Final Fantasy, and there's a skill that you can put on a character who has a dragoon class, and it will just like do one of those jump attacks right at the beginning of the fight, and not like have to go through the whole motion where it jumps up, stays up there for a while, and then drops down. I'm like, no, it starts the battle as if it was already up there and just does big damage onto a random target on the field. It's pretty fun. But yeah, I haven't figured out the perfect evade build like I did in Octopath Traveler. But I think I probably could. I probably could set that up. But I'd have to figure out a way to, because my thief build, using that Godspeed Strike, has pretty good evasion. And I can harvest items that will raise its evasion even more. But, yeah, I'd have to figure out a way to draw aggro, which means I'd have to master or work through another job before I could do any of that. You know, I don't really need to at this point. Like, the game is pretty generous with the ways it gives you to heal. There are no fewer than 3 different classes that can heal up for you. But yeah, I recommend it. It's pretty good. You guys are playing a game too.
Yeah, sure.
We are playing a game.
Mm-hmm. Called the Monster Sanctuary.
Yes.
Ryan's got full-blown fucking notes.
Take us away.
Yes, of course I did. Yeah, so I this game is like really like not on my radar at all. Like, do you guys had heard about this before? This came out in, I think, November. Is that right? Maybe October of last year?
Possibly.
It's been out for a few months.
That sounds about right. I'll do some fact-checking really quick. But I'd only heard about this one from a different podcast. I'd of an inferior podcast, to be sure.
Of course.
Obviously. But a different Nintendo podcast, I heard one of the hosts talking about it. That's the only time I'd heard of it, and I haven't heard anyone else talking about it.
Okay. I don't know why they bother with our podcast out there. I mean, you just shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Nintendo's covered, because yeah, the Nintendo show's out there. It's covered. There's pointless for us to discuss anything.
Right. They should just be talking about movies that came out 25 years ago or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they would. They would bite our style doing that. You know? Anyway, so, yeah, Monster Hunter. This game's kind of a low profile for what it is. I feel like this game is just built for the Switch. I
almost bought this the day before you showed it to us.
Oh, really?
Nice. I was seeing, nice. Actually, no, I think it was a couple of days earlier than that. But I was looking at this, and I was staring at it on the eShop. I was like, this looks really freaking cool.
Yeah.
Add that to the wish list, and then you showed up with it. I was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. Like,
So I think this game has done a interesting sort of peanut butter and chocolate mashup of flavors you didn't know should go together. And that it is a combination of a monster collecting game, kind of like Pokemon. Pokemon's an obvious comparison that's going to come up for this. It's also very much got that Metroidvania. Most recently for me is Hollow Knight. I was literally just playing through Hollow Knight about a month ago. Picking up this game has kind of stopped me in my tracks of playing Hollow Knight, though. And then also kind of combining a kind of classic JRPG battle system, sort of what it feels like. So you've got these 3 different things that are all kind of put together into one game, and it's insanely addictive. This game is so addictive. If we've always wondered what a different Pokemon game might look like,
this is it.
Kind of might be this, right? You've got an actual monster journal, and there's over 100 entries in it, which someone brought up. There's more in this than there were species. And, you know, pick your poison, 1st-gen, 5th-gen, a complete Pokedex. It's creates a lot, and also it's not like a one-on-one fight like a Pokemon. It's literally a 3-on-3, like I said, a JRPG battle. So you have 3 different party members, you toggle between them to determine the order of attacks you want to make. And then you kind of have to synergize them together. So you want, you know, kind of, there's a strategy component too. You know, and kind of in your hand, you'll have 6 of them. Again, very Pokemon-like, but you'll only start 3. So yeah, like, I think it's really cool. And it's also really in-depth in that regard too, where, you know, in Pokemon, you have your Pokemon, and it's got 4 moves, and you can it has a held item, right? And this game, nuh-uh. You have 40 skill points. When you max it up to max level at 40, you have a giant skill tree that you can invest in. And you'll have, depending upon which species of monster it is, you'll have different paths you can go down. So it's one of those things where it's sort of an economy to it, where if you've only got 40 skill points to invest, it seems like there's about 80 different skill nodes total. So you kind of have to think about how you want to build the character.
And one of the things that struck me as interesting when you were showing this skill tree is you could have 2 of the same monster, but have very different builds between the 2 of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on with them.
There's a physical and magical attacks, too. So, well, yeah, let's break that down.
Attack and special attack.
Yeah, essentially. Attack and special attack. Instead of 18 types, you have the 4 core elemental types, and then a 5th is just considered neutral damage. So you kind of want a diverse set of attacks. You don't want to just focus on physical, and you don't want to just focus on magical, and you don't want to just focus everything on like fire or wind or earth damage. You want to have a nice spread. So that way, like when you encounter an enemy, you have some answers to it. You know, there's like a, I don't know how deep we want to get into all of the specific stuff in this, because you could just, I could just go on for fucking hours about this, but, you know, the game, one of the things that I think is at its best about the combat in the game is that it challenges you to win the fights in the most strategic way possible, and you are graded at the end of it, and how you do in that grading system determines what comes out of it, including collecting the monsters you're fighting in the form of eggs that you hatch, and now it's your monster to, you know, have on your team, right? So you're graded in how long does it take you to complete the battles, your technique in it, like, are you using moves that are super effective, or are you using moves that it's weak to? You know, you are graded on how much health you have at the end of it. And there's also a monster difficulty at the very top. So if you're fighting something that's 15 levels beneath you, you get a zero for that. But if you're fighting something that's 2 levels above you, you might get spotted 2,000 points. And the goal is 10,000. If you get 10,000, you got a 5-star rating, which is the best you can get. Or, well, there is a 6-star. If you just one-hit KO your opponent, and that means all three of them are dead on the first of one of your three characters' moves, then you will be guaranteed a 6-star rating, which gives you, I think, even more. I think it just rewards you another next-level rare item. But what do you do with all these rare items, too? You do equip the character. It's not just building out these skill trees however you want to have the character. You then will equip a weapon and then three other, like, accessories, which could be things like, you know, ribbon or gloves or boots and stuff like that, and they'll have their own various stats and attributes that help your character. And the game, love it, even has unique items, one-off items that you'll find that have special properties on them that won't be found on your mundane ribbon or boots. You know, like, you might find one that increases the effectiveness of heals by 15%, or you might have one that at the start of every turn applies a random buff to you. You know, like, really, really cool game-breaking shit can happen. And ones that play into all of these various character builds, you can find ones that... Like, you may have a character that has, whenever this character gets a buff, 60% chance to pass it to the other people. So if they're holding... I think it might be the fishing rod. I don't know. But if it's holding the fishing rod as its weapon, that means that it's going to start the turn with a buff and have a 60% chance to pass it to its teammates. You know, that's just really, really cool stuff that happens. Like, there's all these really, really fun ways to strategize about how you're going to make a team and integrate them all together and really maximize that special it factor, kind of like an ability in Pokemon, you know? And then there's also, and this is something that you encounter a little later in the game, they shift. There's a light shift and a dark shift. And that sort of makes them even special. Think of them as, like, really miniature forms of Mega Evolution, where you get this really special capper ability that does something real fucked up. That, like, you know, for example, you have the Sizzle Knight on your squad.
And I do.
I run him too. One of his two branching paths, you'll either, I believe it's, you can equip a second weapon. Oh. So you can just literally have two different weapons.
I'll just take a look at that. I want to do that. Holy hell.
That's what I did. And it really just stacks so much damage onto the guy. Like, for example, I have this kind of dragon-looking one. And, again, its ability is one that whenever it receives a buff, it passes it to its teammates. And it has something called, I think it's like full restore or full defense, which does 5 different buffs. So it hits and then just showers buffs on the rest of the team. Really neat stuff. You have ones that can increase stacks of debuffs, debuffs being like burn, shock, poison... all sorts of neat ways to decrease the
freeze, confusion.
That is not in love. There. No, sadly, you don't get infatuation in this yet. They may patch that at some point and give us. Yeah, I mean, it's not to say that this is totally mirroring Pokemon, but yeah, obviously, there's going to be a lot of crossover in this. Like, again, I can't get over how great it is in a roster of fucking 100 of them that I can just pick any one of them up and then I can spend the next, you know, 20 minutes messing around with just a skill tree just to see if I want to even play with this thing. Like, poking around and all this stuff. It's very, very fun. And you find a lot of... And again, it's all also about synergizing how you want your team to play together. What else we got here? I'm just going to go through my notes here. I guess I've just been prattling on here.
There is exploration.
in the actual game?
Yes, yes.
It's a lot of platforming. The map, John took a look at it and goes, oh, that looks like a Metroid map. Mm. It looks like a traditional kind of Metroid map with its own color-coded areas, even. Like, this is going to be your little, like, right now, I don't even know where the frick I am right now. I'm in the woods area or whatever. There's a little bits and pieces there, and there's a lot of, what was that game with the Golden Sun? You know how your guys are walking around with those monsters and they can use their abilities on objects in the world in order to open up other paths or find hidden items? That's going on as well. Every monster you catch has their own side of abilities that they can do order to interact with the overworld. Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, you have a lot of your flying guys have the levitate where you just grab onto them and lets you just go a little bit further when you jump. Or there's a guy like the Yeti who has the big ability that can knock down walls, hidden walls and stuff. So if you think there's a hidden wall here, he's got to knock it down, and boom, there's a chest.
Is that ever used for like some gatekeepy stuff? Like it keeps you from progressing to the next area absolutely. That you need to get to?
Again, this is actually a lot like Hollow Knight. Having played Hollow Knight recently, it's even like the very first map of Hollow Knight, that first area you start to explore, has stuff gated off on late, what would be considered late game if you're playing through it. I don't know what order you intend to pick up all of the stuff in. But, you know, there's all kinds of things that require, like, a double jump or, like, the special dash or being able to go into, like, or being able to swim or go into poison, all kinds of shit like that. The game does the same thing where in every given area, I've actually been looking this up with maps on hand just to make sure I don't miss stuff. Every area has about 30 different things you can collect and at least one hidden boss, like a boss monster that you can fight and collect.
I did not know this.
Yeah, yeah. And again, those are the ones that require... Again, I've collected a lot of them now, but there's the four different elemental orbs you need to get to break through stuff.
Yeah, I can't get to the sun palace. I can't get there right now because there's an earth orb.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a guy who can trigger that.
There's also two entrances. There's one from the east and west, so maybe you can get...
I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah.
I just know the one entrance through the orbs, and I don't have anybody who can trigger the Earth Orb.
Yeah. That'll... I'm not sure who offhand would, but...
I want one of those armadillo guys that I just ran into, though. That guy looks so fucking sweet.
Yeah. So you've got... You can ride them, and if you ride them... Certain of them you can ride, and if you are riding them, you move much faster, so you can kind of fly through the maps. There's not only is there flight, there's, like, advanced flight, which gives you even more lift. There's ones that destroy objects, ones that help you swim, one that helps you swim through strong currents. There's rock smash, and then there's also strength and surf, waterfall. I'm just kidding.
Defog.
Defog is crucial.
Dive.
Yeah. I find the exploration of it is so fun. The map is also very clear about whether or not you fully explored something. There will be like kind of a gray indent. You'll get solid borders if there's nothing there. And then gray indents if there's something to kind of find your way through. Sometimes it is as simple as smashing down a wall. Sometimes there's something else you got to do. Oh, a light actually plays a part in it too. There's a bat you can get, among a couple others, that actually light up the environments. So sometimes if you're just in a room and you see kind of a dark area, very good chance there's something hidden there. So you need to equip that monster at your side. So when you go over there, it kind of lights it up.
And it's got flash. Dead.
Yeah, essentially. Except instead of how flashlight lights up a whole room and you can see, it's very much isolated around your character.
Hmm.
And it's certainly not like Hollow Knight in the complexity of the platforming you have to do. But the game does kind of demand some of that. Every once in a while, you get one that's like, ooh, that's barely made it by a quarter of a second kind of thing. I think this game is a fucking blast. I'm really surprised this isn't like a sleeper hit on the console.
It is. The amount of in-depth for just the combat and team building alone is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
All the different kind of builds and the different combinations of guys and just all... It's fucking crazy. It really is. And I haven't even scratched the surface. I'm still really early in the game. My guy's only around level 14.
I've only got 6 characters at level 35. And if the cap's 40 and there's 100 of them, I'm scratching the surface of it too. Like, this game is probably exceedingly deep that you could pump 100 hours into. Like,
there's a lot going on with this game, and it's
I will say the art style isn't great. It does the job.
It's fine.
It does the job. It's not bad, but it's also not great.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not gonna bash it on the art style. I think it's
Yeah. How much do you think you've moved throughout the actual world? Like, throughout, like, do you think that there's more to do that you haven't done yet?
Like, I probably got about 80% of the map completely unlocked. Oh, and we didn't even talk about that, but there are different kinds of play modes. You know, you'll actually have a trainer in there that'll do a 6-on-6 fight for you. And you got to kind of, like, slowly move through the ranks and beat his team.
Is that a way that you can, like, power level some stuff?
Yeah, he beat the shit out of me. I had no hope in that being that guy.
Yeah. Again, it's just a leveling thing. You'll level up and you'll have a team that can fight him. Oh, yeah, and it's a really good way to get experience. You'll usually get about, if it's roughly the same level as his team, you'll probably get about a third of a bar of experience.
I was thinking about, like, if you're trying to, like, experiment with a new character, but further back in levels than the rest of your team, is it, like, where are the XL candies that you can use to catch them up?
Let's say two things about that. As long as it's farmable, you can just go farm it.
Hmm.
Every time you hatch an egg, it will be one level lower than your highest level.
Oh, okay.
So the game's pretty good about that. They're not trying to make you grind a bunch.
And how's it work? Are, like, there skill points that you can distribute throughout the tree? That, like, it hatched from the eggs and it has, like, the points as if it would...
Yeah, if I hatched an egg right now and it was level 34, it would just say, like, 34 skill points available to invest. And I could just build the entire tree out however I want.
Nice.
It's
have, like, one or two of the starting abilities pre-unlocked.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, and you can also reset that. There's a cheap item that you can buy from the shop that will reset.
Skill selector or something like that?
Yeah, skill reset.
They just, boom, just reset the whole thing.
How's your for lack of a better word, how's your PC box work? Like,
you just have sorting, them all sorting on through you. All your... You just have them all on you immediately.
I'm thinking about, like, how they're organized, though. Like, if you have three of the same one...
You have to manually organize them. That's the thing. Oh, that is a good point. The game does not really have a lot of sorting features. You'll find there's a lot of stuff you want to sort. But the game doesn't really have a good way of just, like, smashing them all together or, like, putting everything in order of species. There is this reward system where you dump eggs and hatched Pokemon, hatched monsters you don't want. So that is actually an incentive to... Well, one, it's an excuse to clear out your hand, so you don't have too many things going on. I think on mine, like, I've got my main six, and I've got probably another 30 that I'm just kind of walking around with, but... You know, not all of them are crucial. If you're feeling cluttered, you can always ditch stuff, and there will be a reward for doing so. Also, didn't even talk about the item upgrades. The actual items you equip have a plus by them, so it'll be like +1 through +5. So really rare components will evolve the weaponry and the accessories you have, too. So, like, even if you find, say, that fishing rod, I just need to find the right pieces, and I can make it a +5 fishing rod. Which not only enhances the base stats on it, but also improves the unique attribute that's on it as well. So it might go from having a 5% chance of something to occur to a 10, to a 15, to a 20, to a 25% chance. You know, that kind of thing. This game just kind of thought of everything. This game just has so much depth to it, and all of these fun little ways. And you know what? And what's great about it is that it never is overwhelming. And in the same way, to go back to Hollow Knight, Hollow Knight is never really overwhelms you right off the bat. It's sort of like you kind of poke around, and if something feels a little too hard, you maybe just back off and go somewhere else. This game does a very good job of that, where it's like they don't expect you to do everything all at once. You just kind of slowly work your way into it, and before you know it, you're thinking about how you're going to synergize characters and how you're going to equip them in a certain way to maximize their special abilities. You know, coming up with team strategies where, like, okay, it's not just that I need to get a buff, it's that I need something to debuff my opponents, you know? And it's that I need something to nuke my opponents with, too. And there's a combo system, so, you know, if you have one character that deals one hit for a ton of damage, it's like, that's cool, but there's no combo to it. It's only one turn, one hit. So if you have something that is going to, say, apply two buffs to your whole party, that's 2 times 3 is 6. That's a 6 times multiplier. You know? So, or if you have an attack that hits 5 times, and by the way, if it's a special attack, or if it's an attack that is at advantage, it triggers a 6th attack, then that's a 6 times multiplier, you know? So you want to get these multipliers going because they increase the raw damage done. So the general strategy is, if you got someone that needs to heal or buff, you probably want to do that first. If you have something that's going to debuff or start a damage chain, you do that second. And whoever is going to be, like, your big hitter goes last and just pumps damage, hopefully with, like, a times 25 combo.
Yeah, it has like gone around 15.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's what you'll notice, right? Like with every time you go from that they gate you every 10 levels, you get a new tier of skills. So like you'll have the same move times 5, right? So it'll start with like it hits 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, etc. Again, I think I'm getting into the weeds here with all that stuff. Other than to say, but yeah, this game's a fucking blast.
I just got a Mulbear egg and a Nightwing egg in one fight.
Oh, nice. Good deal.
I don't have those yet, so that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But so, man, this game, it's... Woo! If you like Pokemon, you gotta get this game. It's so good.
Yeah, I think so. It's a really fun knockoff, you know, type of a Pokemon game. Having a lot of fun with it.
As we've established, I don't like Pokemon.
Yeah, it's true. You really don't. I mean, there's some Digimon stuff in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
You love those Digimon.
A little bit of that Yo-Kai Watch.
I mean, it is really cool, though, that, like, you know, the independent game scene is able to foster, like, these sort of game design concepts that have, like, a lot of depth to it. Like, and there's an ecosystem where this sort of thing can exist and hopefully find some success. Because...
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. As we discussed, like the big AAA game industry is just like this vacuum that sucks everything up and eats all the attention away from everything else.
Yeah. Oh, and I was gonna say you can replay the boss battles, which is cool. There's an infinity run, which just gives you progressively harder.
Where can you replay the boss battles?
It's in that same area. There's the infinity guy on the right.
Yeah.
Beneath him should be the boss guy.
Okay.
You might have to accomplish a story thing to unlock him.
Can I get eggs from those?
Yes.
Because I want that golem.
Getting a 5-star gives you the egg.
I want that golem.
Yep.
That golem's pretty bonkers.
And there is online play. You can go online and play with people if you want. Fight them. I haven't seen a trading thing, but there is certainly a fighting thing that you can do.
Wow.
And there's also, for what it's worth, they have been patching this game and adding new content. There's 2 areas that are clearly undeveloped and could be housing something. So it sort of leads you to believe that, hey, maybe they're going to, you know, roll some more stuff in. So... Oh, and then they have been balancing it, too. They do patch this game with the idea of preventing overpowered characters from occurring. But there are many overpowered characters already. So,
that's it. I haven't played this game enough to know which ones those are yet. But
again, there's 100 of them, man. It's going to take a while. Like, I know the ones I have I like, but let's not say they're the best.
Cool. We got anything else?
I got one more game.
Do it.
Whew, it's going to be a marathon of talking. But I got Haven. Have you guys heard of Haven?
Yes.
I think this just came out last...
Yeah, this is a relatively new one.
It's new to the Switch, too. I think this has been out for a few months on PC. But I like this game. You know, if you had to call it anything, you'd call it a survival game. You wouldn't call it a survival horror game. You'd just call it a survival game. But even then, you got to be really obtuse and really bad at games to die at this. It's interesting. The whole premise of it is that, you know, you're these two kind of like love-struck people from like this future society who are trying to run away because they've fallen in love, and then they basically hop through a wormhole in their spaceship and have crash landed on a never before explored alien planet. They fuck up their ship, so now they're sort of trying to figure out how they're going to repair their ship and get out of there. What that means for you as the player is that you're now sort of going around these alien environments, exploring, picking up things, getting into some of the lightest battles you've ever had in a game that requires you to do a battle, just sort of poking around environments, cleansing the world. It's almost like a reverse Splatoon. Like, you know how Splatoon, you put paint everywhere?
Right.
Imagine the paint's already there and you kind of want to clean up the pockets of it because it's polluting the earth and poisoning these animals and making them go mad. Oh, that's who you fight, by the way. You fight the animals that you find. The flora and the fauna of these...
The corrupted animals.
Unique alien environments are important. Yeah. And your job's not to put a blade through them, you know. It's to sort of kind of just inoculate them and then cleanse them of the poison. And then they become your friends. Very, very, very nice. Nice that that's what happens. You want to not starve to death, so that's partly why you're collecting stuff. Is that you're collecting food that you then cook back at your home to keep your two characters alive and well-fed. You have health, so you don't want to get hit too much, but the food also repairs your health. You also have this kind of small crafting thing to make healing potions. The game right off the bat, you start the game with two med kits that will heal you for twice as much as your max HP. Like, this game is, and they even said so. I remember they said this when I first started the game up. They were like, something to the effect of, like, there is an easy mode. We did not make this game to be hard. Hmm. You do not need it, but it's there if you want it. Like they said, we recommend you just play it the way it is. And I will attest that is not a hard game. And the really cool thing about it is what you're doing is when you're exploring these environments is there's this kind of surfing mechanic, I guess you could say. You have these anti-grav boots, right? So, and you'll find these trails. So if you're going to like unlock new areas of the map, you have to kind of ride these trails, and they'll have you just flying all over the place and through these really slick environments that they've made. And in doing so, you'll find the portals, these other little mini wormholes to other islands. This isn't like Breath of the Wild, where I could just walk from one end of the map to the other and there's never a load screen. This game has got a lot of load screens. Because they're smaller islands, and they kind of connect in a grid pattern, and you have a map. So you'll be in one, and it'll tell you that, like, so you're in this one island, but there are three other branching islands that you can find. You just have to get to the wormholes. And again, sometimes you just walk up to it, and there it is right there in front of you. Sometimes you got to, like, go through some very long-winded, tricky-to-ride routes to kind of find them and unlock them, and once you do, you can pass through them. And then, yeah, you're like, as you're going through that, that's kind of your objective. There's a little nice little chart that says, like, there's more stuff to explore here, or you haven't gotten rid of all the red shit. You know, it's fun. But all that said, like, none of this is really important to the game. This is what the game is. This is what the game kind of has you do at times. But at no point is really what this game wants to be about. This game, and what I think makes this so special as a game, is not that it's a survival game. It's that it's sort of like this couple game. It's a game I've never really seen before. These two are not trying to, like, fight some giant god monster that's trying to keep them apart. They're together, and they love each other. They've got a great relationship.
Yeah, they get to fuck all the time.
Fine. Yeah, things are good in their world, aside from being stranded on this alien planet together. It's like, things are all right. So what you get with their dialogue is so kind of natural. It's very much like what actual couples talk about. And you talk about sex. So, like, the game is really, really graphic sometimes in terms of its sex talk. But no, you will never
once, I'm not interested.
You'll never once see actual sex occur. You'll see them talk before and after. Yeah, again, I think
they'll never show everything.
No, of course not. I mean, again, it would be...
Maybe implications, like plants covering the good bits. I mean,
you could see them in their underwear and shit, I guess. It would feel so shitty and smutty with as sweet as a game like this is to show him like bouncing balls against her ass.
Full penetration.
You know, if they went that far with... Yeah, no, because I don't think this... I think that if this game has like a target market, it must be for couples. Couples that want a casual game that they can play together. A game that almost feels like a movie in which you're watching these two as a couple. Like, and again, I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to like that, who will look at what I just said about all these game mechanics and say, like, the fuck is this? There's nothing here, man. What, I'm supposed to ride some stupid rails and collect a few plants to make health? And it's like, you guys don't even take away my health. Who cares? I just got to eat food every once in a while. It's like, okay, I guess it's pretty scenery. It's like, I don't know. And it's like, Maybe there's probably that gamer audience that's just like, I don't give a fuck about this guy. If I wanted to hear a girl talk, I'd get a girlfriend. You know, I'm sure is what they would think to a game like this. You know,
but we know they won't.
Right, they won't. No. Because they can't. But I love this game. This game is so charming, and it's just the way that the couple operates is really, really fun. And it's nice. Like, this is a game that has so much dialogue, so much spoken dialogue, too. I have never once hit a button to skip dialogue. So if you're the type that does not want dialogue and wants to skip through that shit, you're gonna find yourself with virtually no game. It really is about the couple and about.
So John, I'm picking this up later on. Interested.
You gotta pick this up later on tonight before we.
I was thinking, like, it sounds really interesting. I like the idea of like riding the rails around and like purging the island.
It is. Like from playing Hollow Knight, I became so aware of how Hollow Knight makes me feel as a gamer, where it's like punishing me the whole time. It's just such a mean game. And when I put the controller down, it's not because I'm like, that was satisfying. It's like,
you've bested me again, game.
Like, you feel drained.
I'll see you in a few days.
Yeah.
You know, but this game is like soul food, man. This game is like really, really sweet to just pick up and play.
It's called Haven?
Yeah. Casually, like, kind of ride around and clean up some stuff and maybe get into a little bit of a fight here and there. You know, and just for the most part. Oh, and the soundtrack. Oh my god, the soundtrack is so fucking good.
I'm interested by the co-op of this one.
Yeah.
Because it is fully cooperative. I know it's, yeah. It doesn't look like it's a very long game either. First of all, just some points of order. Sure. It came out on other systems in December, came out on Switch in February. So it was only like a 2 month delay there.
God. Okay. Why?
God. It is, I think the going price now is $25. And also, just as a side note, I did also look up the release date for Monster Sanctuary. That one was out in December on Switch. And it's actually currently on sale for $15.
Get it. That's good. That's fucking good.
I just paid $20.
Sorry. So
god damn it.
Haven, $25 is the list price and this current price as well. And it's only like a 10-hour game for the main story. We just kind of mainline it.
I think so.
If you're being more thorough, it's looking like 14, 15 hours.
Yeah, and the game.
I always expect you to be like, yeah, the main story's only about 10 hours, but you want to do every little thing. It's more like 80 and 82.
like fucking what was that game? That we talked about at the end of last year. Shit, now it's escaping me. I'm gonna look it up. But like the thing was like it takes 30, like anywhere from 30 to 80 hours to beat. And I played a bit of that game, and yeah, I can actually see that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so also a little. I have some more stuff to say about this game because I really want to sell people on it. If I have not made it clear, this is a fucking great game. But yeah, whoever is doing the dialogue or whoever wrote the story here is in love with pulp science fiction. There is so much pulp sci-fi chatter and stuff that I feel like I've read in countless other science fiction properties.
Crosscode. That was the name of the game. Crosscode.
Crosscode.
Anyway, continue.
Because the two will just get to musing about things sometimes. You can literally just sit on the couch and what they call the nest is your ship. You can just sit on the couch and just kind of talk about stuff. You know, when you go to bed, you usually talk either, you know what I mean? Like, if you have sex, like, you'll talk after you have sex. Can I talk about, like...
What? If you've done it right, she goes right to sleep.
This is a super graphic thing that happened in the game, and I just thought this was fucking funny. Because the game really is so down to brass tacks about relationships sometimes. Where there's this part where... So, like, at least for me, this is how it had played out. We just had, not a fight, but she had kind of a little mini breakdown where she was dealing with some shit, you know, and you two, like, kind of work through it, you know, you have sex off screen, and then you're laying in bed, and then she just, like, looks over at you, and she's just like, she says something like, hey, can I sleep on your side of the bed? And you can be like, why do you want me to sleep on your side? I like this side. And, like, basically antagonize someone that's already had a rough day. Or you can just be like, okay. And then you get over, and then your guy character will just say, ooh, it's sticky over here. And then she's like, yeah, maybe you should clean up afterwards. And he's like, literally came inside of her. And one, this is on him. You know, you should probably be a little bit more careful about where he's putting the semen. And two...
Especially on a planet with no hospitals.
What kind of lady is over there just like, I'm just going to let that be up in there.
Mm.
You know? But then the capper is that when she gets over to his face, like, it's sticky over here, too. So, great moment. You get a lot of little moments like that where there's just, again, that's also at the same time not sexy. That's very real talk for relationships. So, that's just fun. The two have a really great chemistry. It's all spoken dialogue, too, so you actually hear, like, you'll be able to read the text, of course, but it's all spoken, so you've got two voice actors that, like, they even showed them that they record in the same studio together. So, like, they have each other to play off of when they're doing the dialogue. It's not just like you have two separate people recording differently. They play against the gender roles. Your two characters are named K and U. K is the man, but in that they are not very much like the typical male and typical woman. He's actually kind of the soft, gentle one. He's like a geologist. He's the one that's the quickest to befriend the animals that are around them. They establish that he's the best cook. He's very analytical.
He likes to get pegged.
Yeah, that happens every once in a while. I mean, it comes up. That's actually one of the unlockables. You build it.
You build it.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even bring that up. You. Oh my God! When you get your upgrades for your character, you do so by validating your relationship. That's okay. Not what the text says, like, you validated your relationship. You have more health, or it's like you deal more damage. You know, it's great. God. Oh, and the woman is supposed to be the her name is
you,
right? And she's actually like a mechanic and an engineer. And she's a hothead. She's just very much like, okay. So like I was telling you about how the islands, most people hate load screens when you're talking about it. Cause like, I think that would be a kind of a turnoff for somebody to be like, you know, Breath of the Wild, I can just walk to that mountain and it's good. I don't have to deal with the load time, even though they masked the load times in a way, you know, it's like, you know, you're losing stuff as you gain stuff.
Yeah. And you see that when you fast travel.
Yeah. In this game, for as many little compartments and islands as there are, you don't get to see it all at once. You literally do have to go through these things, and each one probably has about a 20-second transition screen. And in that, they actually include these little slice-of-life bumps. These little just artist renderings of the two of them doing, like, normal couple stuff. Not like they're two characters stranded in this sci-fi planet, but, like, they're sitting on the couch watching a movie eating popcorn. Or, like, they're dancing together, or they're working out together. Or they're just doing anything. Or, like, you know, she's bust open a pipe and he's trying to help. It's like these really cute moments that you don't even want the... You want to sit there and look at the picture, and then the next area loads. And it's like, oh, that was really sweet. But one of the best ones that I think captures their dynamic is that he's sitting there, like, holding his hand, like, in pain. And then she's over there just opening a pickle jar. It's like... So he's kind of the pussy, and like, she's the one that's the real toughie. It's great. It's
really, I feel really like great. This game would make me depressed.
Oh, yeah?
I've been single way too long. So I'll just watch it like, these fake people have love.
You'll find your you.
They're computers. They're incapable of love.
Oh, and a nice little... Kind of where I'm at in the story, because I haven't beaten the game yet.
So is my ex.
Hey, yo.
Oh, that's
a little
you did there.
It's a little late.
Yeah, I'll edit it so it's snappy.
No, you won't.
No, I won't.
Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The supposedly desolate alien planet is not. They actually are finding, where I'm at right now, you're finding old buildings that were made by these colonists. Mm. So you're kind of wondering, like, why was this stuff hidden? Like, why are they hiding all of these things that they built here? What happened? Like, what went wrong?
Yeah, where'd they end up?
Yeah, exactly.
Their stuff is here, but they're not.
So there is kind of a compelling push in terms of the actual story that the game has to tell you. It's not just you're spending your whole time in
the, with this. Find out that there's three suns, but they're all going to get eclipsed at the same time, and all the monsters will come out.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's two. There's two gods. One's the Bionis, and then one's the
Mechanus.
Mechanus, yeah. Right? Yeah, and then they show you that Charlotte is there, only to kill her.
Ah, oh, poor Charlotte.
I'm just kidding. I'll stop bringing her up at some point. But not anytime soon. So yeah.
Objectively brilliant game. Go
so
on.
I'm going to cap it there. I'm just going to say, like, if you want a game that's very, very fun and casual and just makes you feel good to play, it doesn't challenge you too much, but it's just still rewarding in its way, fun to explore. Again, that soundtrack is fantastic. There are times where you're just like flying around and then the beats really hit and it feels like you're now and suddenly in a racing game and you want to stay on the track and like kind of explore. It's great. This game's really, really fun.
Cool.
Well worth the, what, $20 for it or whatever?
25.
25, totally worth it.
Anything else you want to bring up before we close it out for the night here?
I think I'm good.
I got nothing. I've just been playing World of Warcraft and... Stop Age of Calamity and Breath of the Wild and
how far Monster are you in Age of Calamity at this point?
Not very far. I kind of took a pause on it because of Monster Sanctuary, and I wanted to get back into Breath of the Wild a bit more. But I have unlocked all four of the champions.
Okay,
I've done a couple of missions in the two Divine Beasts so far, which those are fun. I liked those.
Yeah.
There's not much going on with them, but they're fun.
I think, thankfully, yeah, they are kind of not nearly as mechanically complex as the rest of the game, but they're like these fun little power trips. And again, that is a lot of power trips with you mowing down dozens of enemies in your way, getting in these giant monsters, and then mowing down thousands of enemies in your way is weirdly satisfying.
They're oddly difficult, too, I've had some struggle with them, and I haven't lost any, but I have beaten them to, like, literally a second left on the timer. Like, it's been... nail biters the whole way. But
the first time I did the elephant one was the one I did first.
Ruta.
Yeah, and that one I nearly died because, and as you get more familiar with them, like you'll have a couple of more divine beasts missions where you
like replay. 1,000 enemies. I was fine. 1,200. Mm. That's when I hit my limit.
Yep. But the more you play as those divine beasts, you know, the easier it'll get because you'll understand better when you're supposed to be using your special moves and all your meters build up and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah,
those are a lot of fun.
Any of the champion characters stand out to you as fun?
Impa's really good. She's
any of the champion characters.
Monsters. Any of the champion characters stand out to me is really fun. I feel like I would really like Revali, but he's a little more complex in his movements because there's a lot of flying. And his attacks don't really flow as easily as some of the other characters.
Yeah, mechanically, so he's going to perform the best in the air.
Yeah.
So you have to be thinking about, okay, well, this attack is going to ground me, so I need to then get back up in the air.
He's really good at handling the little guys, because he can pop in the air and just mow everybody the fuck down like they're nothing. But when you have to get into those more one-on-one fights and be a little bit more mechanically sound, he tends to struggle a little bit opposed to some of the other ones.
Yeah, about when you're countering and then using your slate powers and stuff, yeah.
I don't like Daruk. He's just slow, brute, and just he does not even feel good to use. Like,
yeah,
I
don't like the way those characters feel in those warrior-style games either. Like, your big sluggish characters. Like, cool, you can pump out damage, but everyone's dying in one swing of a sword anyway. So yeah. You're just immobile.
I do really like Urbosa. Urbosa is a lot of fun. She has good AoE, and she's good on those little single fights and everything like that. I like her a lot. Tamifa is a little awkward as well, just like Revali. A little awkward in her movements.
Yeah, Mifa's another one of those ones where it's kind of similar to Daruk, where you know where you're placing like your boulders and where you're like bringing up your water spouts are going to drastically affect your ability to move and how much damage you're outputting. Whereas like Urbosa's more like straightforward. Here are your attacks, and here's this bonus meter you can fill up to dish out even more damage.
Yeah.
She probably, I think, behaves the most like Link. Except she's a little bit more, I suppose, flashy.
Yeah. Link, I really like with the spear.
I like the spear too.
I really like Spear Link. It just works really nicely. And it's a good, I'm mowing this guy down. Like, it's a very good single target little pop. So,
I like the spears in Breath of the Wild, too.
Yeah.
At Breath of the Wild as well. I do not have an advanced copy of Breath of the Wild 2.
I was going to say, you've been holding out on us.
You son of a bitch.
I've been getting review codes this whole time and not sharing them.
Damn it.
And you're making me play Balan Wonderland. What the hell, man?
I do want to hear your thoughts on it.
I'll play it. Next podcast, I'll play it.
Okay.
Because it would be the official show.
Well, what do you guys want to do the next one? Like, we'll have had Monster Hunter for about a week the next time we record. So we could talk some Monster Hunter. Or we could pivot. Because it'll be April. We usually start off with a Pokemon show. We could do like a Pokemon show. And then bank.
When is Snap coming out?
The end of the
end
month.
End of April.
Okay, then probably good to get the Pokemon show out of the way earlier, I would think.
Okay.
So that way, like, early May, we'll do the Pokemon show and capture what we think about Snap.
I mean, what I think about Snap.
Yeah, what you think about it.
Because you two are bastards.
Well, he, again, has the advanced copy. We'll probably play a little bit.
I got the Ruby code. So, what do we want to do for our Pokemon show? We want to do a quiz or something?
Could. That'd be fun.
Man, we can do that. We can make up some Pokemon. We can,
I'd be cool with making up some Pokemans. Yeah. I had a couple that...
I'm not clever enough. I mean, it's pretty much just you two, and I'm going, oh, that is a good idea. I'll try, but it's not going to be as creative as you guys.
Does it have to be Florida, though? Can we come up with another...
We can branch out.
Yeah.
What sort of region do you want to do?
Ooh. Kanto? I have one called Squirtle.
I got this really great idea. It's an orb. That's it.
Oh, is it electric maybe?
Probably
voltage,
electric.
Like a voltage orb?
Yeah. That's good.
Perfect.
I have one that looks like a pigeon.
Yeah.
What do you want to call it?
Thero?
Birdian.
The gentleman was kind of bullshit, wasn't it?
Braviary? I don't know. Florida is so fun because we live here. It's great.
Right. I think like we have like the most inside jokes about...
I don't know. Maybe we should do Florida. Again, I feel like I had three or four that were just like, I thought of as ideas, but I didn't follow through on them, so.
Right, I'm going to... It's going to be hard to talk about. Called Pub Sub.
Pub. Oh, stop. Genius idea.
And the final evolution is going to be a chicken finger sub.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, we'll do some Pokemans next, and we'll kind of bullshit about...
Fine by me. Some, I can bullshit.
Some imaginary ones.
I'll tell you about Pokemon Go. I mean, Pokemon Go is like, it's still a thing, man.
Have they started doing Gen 6 stuff?
Yes.
Nice.
Not all of it, but a handful of it, yeah.
Yeah, and then on the mini show, we'll cover Monster Hunter, because by then we'll have had it for a couple weeks, so we can probably do some pretty deep takedown.
Sweet.
And the retro show. We'll have an N64 game on the retro show. It's exciting to talk about. Yeah, it's going to be... a contemporarily appropriate one, because Excitebike 64 came out in April.
Nice.
And then we'll wrap it up with the official show at the end of the month.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So it all.
Peace out.